understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app. I am Craig Scheman. He's Pete Shepherd.
Good tune again.
Glad to have you along on a Monday.
This is the Strokes. Do you know the Strokes?
Not the band.
Sounds...
No, the beginning of it has a different sound. Yeah.
Really? No.
Oh, that, what's this, when was that song released?
Sounds like Euro.
That's like a 90s. It sounds like a 90s.
Yes, it
tune.
Does. And I'm trying to think of the 90s song that it sounds like. Somebody will text it.
All right. I just died in your arms tonight. Sounds kind of like
that. It sounds a little like
that.
Good analogy.
Yes.
All right, here we are on a Monday. Here's what I want to do. We got a lot of interesting stuff going on around the NFL, like an injury list that's like 21 players long. A lot of interesting games. We'll get to Pete's Patriots. Went down to the wire against the Seahawks. You can make fun of my Lions again. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though Tom Brady threw an interception, they looked decent and beat the Carolina Panthers.
Dallas.
Decent.
They
look
better.
Decent.
Tampa
Craig,
looked
only
good.
Threw in the 200s. Tampa, like, you know who? It wasn't Josh Allen.
Craig, you don't have to pass for 400 yards to look good.
Allen did. He looked fantastic.
Matt Ryan does nothing but throw for 400 yards, and they're 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a moving target with you, Scheman.
I just don't. I block it out.
As I was about,
I block it out because I know he's not serious about
it. As I was about to say, if you want to call and talk about all of those things, it's 239-337-ESPN. If you want to call and talk to Chris off the air behind the scenes about the Dolphins and commiserate on the B channel, it's 239-337-ESPN.
I was actually just talking with Art the Bills fan.
Was he cordial after his team just spanked yours?
I said, Art, you know, if you want to get on and gloat, I'm fine with it. And he said, no, I just want to talk about, this. We've talked off air about a new smoker that I'm looking to get.
Right.
So we talked about that for a few minutes. And then he was actually very complimentary of the Dolphins, said that it was a close game. He was really nervous. He thought that it would be a wider margin of victory for his Bills. Made me
feel
a little bit better.
Buffalo got complacent, and they'll learn not to do that. And they're 2-0. But there's going to be games like that, and that's what happens. You can't, in this league, you cannot, Falcons, you cannot take your foot off the gas pedal. And this is why... And anybody ever again, and I don't know why it takes a game like the Falcons and Dallas for people to believe, you don't take your foot off the gas pedal in the college or pro game. I don't care. All right, if you're up 5 scores with like 3 minutes to go, okay, maybe you do. But really, you take your foot off the gas pedal and you allow the Dolphins to come back. Dallas completely obliterates a huge deficit in the Falcons. Don't do what they're supposed to do.
And that was one of the worst starts to a game ever by the Cowboys. I mean,
teams were 440 and 0.
With
39 points and no turnovers until the Atlanta Falcons made history yesterday.
Well, they've got a thing for making history.
They've made history a lot on the wrong side. By the way, my Lions made history. They've lost their fourth straight game with a double-figure lead. Never been done in 101 years of the NFL.
I mean, even the Falcons are like, dang, that's a bad streak.
The Falcons and the Lions set to make NFL history when they play later this season. It should be really bad.
One will blow a first half lead, the other will blow a second half lead, and it will end in a tie.
Matty Ice and Matt Stafford are like best buds. They and their wives do stuff in the offseason and all that kind of stuff. So. Yeah, when that game's on the schedule, we'll have to.
Grand Poobah, Detroit doesn't have a gas pedal.
They don't.
Busted clutch.
Well, ironically, Grand Poobah, parenthetically, his nickname is Flintstones, and that's more what the Lions, they got an archaic old Ford Model T, Model A. So, all right, we got a lot to get to, a lot of sound, a lot of phone calls, a lot of people want to talk, a lot of injuries to update you around the NFL. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
A lot of injuries indeed. Nick Bosa, Saquon Barkley, Cortland Sutton, Tavon Young, Malik Hooker, Brandon Scheff, Harris Campbell, Bruce Irvin, all done for the year with either ACL or Achilles or other knee injuries. Tonight on 99.3 ESPN, hopefully nobody gets hurt in Monday Night Football. Saints taking on the Raiders from Las Vegas in front of zero fans. And 8 o'clock NBCSN, the Tampa Bay Lightning look to even up the Stanley Cup final against the Dallas Stars.
All right, let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's a Monday of football season. Love it. John wants to talk 49ers, and they got a lot of guys hurt. John, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, John.
Pretty good, guys. I like listening to you guys' show all the time. Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
The question I have with Bosa and Thomas going down, does that raise any concern with my defense going forward? Or do you think we'll be all right as his injuries go through each team?
Well, I think it's going to be different. I mean, it's the Jets. I mean, you're looking at the worst team in the NFL with the worst offense in the NFL. So,
I
think we're just going to have to wait and see.
The 49ers.
But I'm talking about, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in how well the defense have played against the Jets. They played well yesterday, obviously, but everybody expected it.
I think that's a big blow to the 49ers defense. He talked about, does it balance out with the rest of the league and more injuries? No, that was a big blow.
It puts a lot of pressure on Eric Armstead. It puts a lot of pressure on Javon Kinlaw, who's a rookie, who they brought in for the guy that they shipped off to Indianapolis.
Kerry Hyder. That other guy, Kentavious Street,
The strength of the 49ers defense has been getting pressure on the quarterback while only bringing four. And when you've got defensive linemen like they have, you can throw them at the opposing offense, and it's fast and furious. You start taking away some of that depth. You've got guys out there playing more snaps. They're not as fresh when they're on the field. I think it's something to be concerned about, but what are you going to do? It's a torn ACL from Nick Bosa. You can't get around that.
Look, I was concerned anyway. I told you at the beginning of the season, I think they make the playoffs. I think they're going to have a massive Super Bowl hangover. They just strike me as one of those teams. Arizona came back on them and already beat them 24-20. Certainly, I expect them to beat the Jets no matter what. And they're probably, even banged up, will probably the win at the Giants, playing in the same stadium next week, by the way, the 49ers are. They probably win that game, and then they're home against the Eagles. And I'll be picking the 49ers in that game. I know that because I will not pick the Eagles at all this year, not one time.
Which they had an offensive lineman go down again, the Eagles. They're they're turning into the Los Angeles Chargers, but the East Coast version. That's what they are.
Let's go back to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Alex, Finn's up. What's up, Alex?
Finn's what?
No, I want to talk about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Bills didn't ease up at all. There's the Dolphins' problem is two things. They have no outside pass rush. Allen was back there with no pressure. Every pass that he threw, the receivers were 2 feet, 3 feet away from the defender. It wasn't the Bills let up, and the Dolphins still hung in there.
Well, I'm talking about the Bills were up 17-7, and I thought they had a chance to go up 24-7, and that kind of I think that would have put them away right there and then, but they didn't do it.
Van Noy would have intercepted the one pass and ran him into a touchdown. Look, the Dolphins would be up 10. I mean, you're playing ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, but look, you know what's wrong with the Dolphins. It's plain and simple what's wrong with them. Well, tell me what you think is wrong with them, and I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with them. Let me help you. Last in yards in passing, they give up 10.2 yards a pass. Last in yards per play, they give up 7.2 yards. 30th in yards with 440.5. 29th in rushing at 164 yards. 28th in yards per rush at 5. They average 5 yards a run, giving up 27th in passing and 19th in scoring at 26. I mean,
Alex, you're absolutely right, though, about not being able to get pressure on Josh Allen. He sits back there for 5 seconds. You can't expect a secondary to cover for that long. And then you have mental gaffes on the back end, like Bobby McCain, who's supposed to be in a two-deep zone defense, and just lets John Brown run right by him for a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. You're absolutely right, Alex. The defense, I was just looking at a stat put out by ESPN, the next gen stats that they do for the NFL. I was telling you guys in a break, the Dolphins blitz, they bring manufactured pressure second most in the NFL, only behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yet they're below the league average in pressuring the quarterback.
But that's Josh Boyer, Chris. And I'm not yelling. I'm saying that's Josh Boyer, the defensive coordinator. Why do you keep doing? You keep making the same mistake over and over again. You got to be better than that, and you got to be able to adjust better than that. But or they're going to be in serious, serious trouble.
The amount of money, the amount of assets that have been put into this defense. I mean, you look at it with Baker, with all the linebackers that they brought in over the offseason, with the defensive line that they're using. I mean, go look at the last two Miami Dolphins drafts. They're using it for defense, specifically the front seven of defense.
Yeah, but if you don't coach these guys up properly and don't make adjustments on almost a series by series, then you're not doing your job. And right now, Josh Boyer is right up there to get fired, I would think, maybe, if this continues, along with the Falcons special teams coach.
But you guys think if we just put Tua in, the whole team's going to step up and play
better. I think he will, but it will inject some life into this team.
Craig,
and yeah, I do think the defense, it's crazy to say because it shouldn't be this way, but we all know the truth's a little different. Going to try a little harder. You don't think, I'm not saying the Chargers did this, but you don't think the Chargers, and probably many were like, well, Herbert should be starting anyway over to Rod Taylor.
Well, perhaps.
You don't think they were a little more juiced up to say, hey, let's get our rookie going. Let's not blow this. Not that they wouldn't do that for Tyrod Taylor, but we all know that the truth is a little different.
I think they would do that for Fitzmagic too, because, I mean, he's got a history with this team. This team played, they like him. He's a likable teammate.
He's likable with every teammate, but he's always been likable. That's never been the case.
We used to call him Fitzmagic. We were like, bring him in. He was the guy we used to say, bring in and spark the team.
Fitzmagic for three or four games, but he's actually won a couple of games early on in the season for his other team. Now he's 0-2.
What I'll say about that is look at the roster turnover from the beginning of last year to where we're at right now. I'd say that there aren't more than 15 guys on the roster.
No credit
that,
this team.
I'm not saying that there's no credit. I think that Fitzpatrick is a credible, solid NFL veteran quarterback. Do I think the days of Fitzpatrick doing the Fitzmagic thing are gone? Yeah, I think that those days are gone. And you tell me, Craig, how good do you think the Miami Dolphins are with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback?
I got no complaints with how he played yesterday. None.
Answer the question. How good do you think the Miami Dolphins are with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a 500 team, a 6-10 team? Where do you think that the Dolphins
between
are?
Between 6-10 and 500.
Okay, then. So why not? You're not a playoff team. You've just said that.
Right, you're not a playoff team. Right.
So why are we waiting to put Tua Tagovailoa in?
I told you. Should have been in the first week of the season.
And that's my
point. End of story.
I've seen enough from this team with Ryan Fitzpatrick to know this team ain't winning 10. You had to get one of those first two to go get 10. Go look at the rest of the schedule. If you lose this game on Thursday night, if you're the Dolphins, that's the easy spot to put Tua in. I'd rather put Tua in a spot where you're going up against the Jacksonville defense that's allowed 30 points on two separate occasions this year, and we've only played two games. Let him go in there, get some positivity rolling, and who knows, maybe at halftime you're up 17-10, and everybody's looking around each other in the locker room going, hey now, hold on one second. You've got a defensive coordinator that's able to say, look, I've got all these toys that we went out and bought in this offseason. Now I've got the ability to really attack on the defensive side of the football instead of being reactionary.
I'm not saying either of you are wrong with your thinking. I want to see Tua as much as anybody as a fan. I've said from day one, and I'll say it again, it won't be, you know, it hasn't been the first 2 weeks. It won't be this week because of the short week. I don't care what anybody says. But I do fully expect we'll see him for week four. And I've said that since he got drafted. I mean, that's when I looked at the schedule. Week four, a long week to prepare. That's the week it'll be done. Brian Flores is a very methodical head coach. He's not going to do anything radical by bringing a guy in before he thinks he's, you know, whether
he is ready. He's ready.
Well, you don't know that sitting here.
You've
been to zero practices.
I do.
No.
I've seen them all. I have secret people over there. I've seen them all.
I just know how coaches are, and I can see he's very methodical in his thinking. I think it makes sense to bring him for the fourth game, and I think that's what will happen. You won't see him this week unless there's an injury.
All right, good. Bring him in against
Seattle.
Craig,
I think you're right. It makes sense on the schedule. 10 days off between games. I believe it's a home game against Seattle anyway, so you don't have to deal with the road environment or anything like that. But it's Jacksonville. It's Jacksonville. Look, that's who they are. Like, they're not an elite team. Why not let him go out there? And I don't care that
it's
a few days rest.
It's ridiculous. And that was a W on our wins-loss type of thing. There's no question that Jacksonville. No, great. Yeah, Jacksonville has played for now, better than expected. I don't see any harm in putting him in. And I still say if Fitzpatrick starts off slow If he starts off slow, they cannot afford to start the season going 0-3. They just can't. They'll be done.
But Craig, everything you said was correct. The loss on Sunday was not because of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Fitzpatrick will probably get the start on Thursday night.
Yeah,
probably. But at that point, I mean, what's the difference? Like, who really cares if Tua goes out there? It's the Jags defense. They're not. He's played against better defenses in the SEC. Like, he's going to go out there. He's going to figure it out. It's going to be faster than what he's used to, obviously. But let's start letting him learn by being on the field. Enough of this sitting on the sideline and asking Ryan Fitzpatrick after each game, hey, did Tua ask you really great questions on the sideline during the loss when you were down 10 points? Who gives a crap about that anymore? Let him get out there where he's got figurative bullets flying at him,
yeah,
and see what the kid does. Because if he's bad, you leave him out there and you go and you draft another quarterback next year.
Oh, you, well,
again?
No.
After what you wrote, Josh Rosen?
No, you're
not drafting another quarterback next year.
If you get the number one overall pick, you draft a quarterback next year.
Are you doing that again?
No, you don't.
No, you do not.
You do not. Go look at Peyton Manning's.
Insane.
If you saw Peyton Manning's rookie season.
You just got Tua. You don't need to go get Trevor Lawrence. Now what you need is to go get a left tackle or a defensive tackle.
You spent the money on a left tackle. Austin Jackson has been really good through two games against two pretty good defenses.
Go get a right. I wouldn't do it with the first round, but go get yourself a wide receiver for crying out loud. Stop drafting quarterbacks every year.
Go look at how many rookie quarterbacks have good years. How many rookie quarterbacks?
We've drafted two in the first round since Dan Marino.
I'm just saying, you got a first rounder this year with Tua. You picked up a first rounder the year before with Josh Rosen on a steal. That didn't work out.
That was a second rounder, not a first rounder.
Well, he was a first rounder.
Right, but you gave up a second rounder.
You're fine. Don't do 3 years in a row of getting a quarterback.
You can't, and you're not going to. And if he takes his lumps a little bit, he takes his lumps. So does every other rookie quarterback.
You got to go to the dance with Tua. That's your guy.
Get him out on the field to figure it out. Yeah. Get him out on the field.
Hey, you will in 10 days. Relax.
No, not in 10 days, Craig. 10 days from Thursday.
I will do a sandwich bet with you.
13 days.
I will do a sandwich bet with you, Craig Sheeman, that he plays at some point on Thursday.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
I am.
I just don't think he's gonna. Unless Fitzmagic's injured.
Well, or gets off to a crappy start.
I don't think so.
I think he's on a short leash, and I know Flores will say all the right things this week. But I think that if they're down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, and their offense looks stagnant,
10-0 after the end of the first
quarter, their offense looks stagnant.
There aren't too many coaches that would make that move in the first quarter.
Or wait till halftime when you're down 17-3 and go and wait and you're in a bigger hole and you're on the precipice of going 0-3.
That's the situation Nick Saban found himself in against Georgia, which brought Tua on in the first place. Yes, Chris.
May I? Yeah. Who's the last team to take a quarterback in the first round of back-to-back drafts?
Back-to-back drafts? Arizona did.
How'd that work?
Yeah.
Fine.
There you go. That's my point. You keep throwing until you hit
it.
Josh Rosen sucked.
Tua off the team.
We haven't even seen Tua take a snap yet.
That's my point, Craig, you've got to get him out on the field to figure out if this is the guy or not.
It's called week 4-16. You will have a 12-week sample size if he stays healthy.
Listen to a Lions fan on how to develop a quarterback properly.
You cannot put – well –
that's the one quarterback position we're okay at.
Josh Rosen's situation in Arizona was a crappy one. It was a crappy one here in Miami, and I don't know where it's going to be. You know, I don't know where it's going to go. But
239 says, Craig, you're an idiot.
Idiot.
You can never have enough quarterbacks. There's only 32
of
them.
Thank you.
You draft a quarterback every year, you're going to have nothing else replenished.
And you're not keeping more than
two
on the bench
at
the same time.
Miami Dolphins have two first-round draft picks next year, one of theirs and one's the Houston Texans. They'll probably be drafting twice in the top 10.
I can't believe that we're having this. You want to draft a quarterback next year later in the rounds or something. I get that.
I'm simply saying you have to figure out what Tua is. If you think Tua can lead you to a Super Bowl eventually, then you keep him, obviously. But if you put Tua out there for a year and you're selecting number one overall the following year, you take the better prospect. The better prospect is Trevor Lawrence.
You're not drafting
indisputable.
You're not going to have the number one overall pick.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You don't. So what is satisfactory numbers for Tua that you wouldn't want to draft a number one pick? What is he?
It's not a numbers thing. It's a, hey, how does he have a command of the offense? What does it look like?
If it looks good, it doesn't have to be great. I don't expect greatness out of rookie first-year quarterbacks.
I don't either. What I expect is him to see the football field, though, and be able to beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick in camp.
He will. We're within 2 weeks. Just relax.
I don't know what you're saying.
Now we're drafting Trevor already.
Don't tell me to relax, Craig Shea. I will act however I see fit. And right now, I'm on to the draft next year.
He's got him out of the playoffs already. All the smack you talked off season, all that crap.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought some of these free agents were going to come in and give a
it's
damn.
It's week two.
Hold on.
It's week two.
I said after week one, the season is over at 2:07. Week two, Chris is on to the draft. Pete Shepard and his stupid Patriots are the only ones keeping this show on the road here, keeping us interested in the football season.
It's week two. Take a deep breath. Yes, I agree with you about two. It's week two.
It's a must win.
There's no
other way around it. Thursday night at Jacksonville, must win. Fins up.
Chris, you got it.
Plus 130 money line.
239, it says, Chris, what if Cincinnati gets the first pick again this year? You're going to go draft Trevor when you got Joe Burrow?
Guys, you're making my point for me. Nope. We've seen Joe Burrow. You've got to see Tua Tagovailoa. You've got to put him out on the field. That's my point here. You're getting caught up on the wrong thing. You've got to put him on the field is what I'm saying. Enough of this number 14 nonsense. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But you wanted him out there at the beginning of the season.
Tua?
No. You wanted Fitzpatrick.
Who did?
I thought you did.
I did.
Right. I thought it was the heady play. I agree with Brian Flores. Me and a head coach are on the same page.
Yeah, well. I didn't think so because this was inevitable that this would happen. And yes, it wasn't his fault but
this weekend it was last weekend in Foxborough.
Partly, yeah, absolutely. I really thought he was coming in last week. I thought after the second interception, he was going to come in. You'd see some action.
Speaking of Foxborough, we've talked plenty about Chris's Dolphins and my Lions and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. We've not really touched much on last night's game. In Seattle, it came down, it seems like it always comes down, to a goal line stand between Seattle and New England. And here is Cam Newton on a play that worked twice before
It was not the same play.
Correct.
It was a cruddy version of what did work before.
Cam Newton, Josh McDaniels, off of left tackle, basically trying to get it in there on NBC, came up short, got flipped over.
This is it.
Fullback's going to shift to be lead blocker. Here we go.
Cam is going to take it himself, and he doesn't get in. And the Seahawks are going to win the game. Line up with a power formation, and you got L.J. Collier and Leno Hill are the two guys who are there.
You got to send somebody in motion. You got to give me something. You know, you have to go five wides or anything like that, but give me something. I was stunned at the lack of creativity Josh McDaniels had. Yes, it worked earlier, but it was a little bit different formation, not just 11 guys in the box and just have Cam, fullback.
I would say everybody in the stadium knew this play was coming, except there was nobody in the stadium.
Well, no, but knowing that Cam is going to run is one thing. Knowing he's going to run in that almost impossible formation to score, I could have drawn that play up. Here, 10 guys. Line up right in front, or nine, and I'll take the fullback here and pray. Nobody goes in motion. Everybody stands there, and nothing. Now, I know Cam said today, he's like, well, if I could have probably bounced outside myself. I don't know about that. It was a lack of creativity. Still a really gutsy performance by the Patriots this early in the season. They're going to surprise a lot of people, as I told you they would. They're going to be tough to beat, no matter who they play. They will be tough to beat.
Here's Cam Newton after the game, blaming himself for not scoring.
It's humbling to be able to, you know, have the respect of a team to have the ball in my hands. I just got to deliver them. You know, I saw a clip of it. I could have made it right by just bouncing it. I was just trying to be patient, just thinking too much, man. You know, normally, or even just diving over the top. There's so many different things that flashed over me and playing a fast defense like that. As soon as you guess, you're wrong. So, I definitely learned from this. And, you know, the play was there. The play's been there all game. And moving forward, you know, we just got to scheme up things and being put in that situation, being put in that situation again, hopefully we can have a better outcome.
Okay. Now, the one thing that's blatantly obvious and is
what the Cam I'm hoping it's partly
development in N'Keal Harry, who really came on, and Demaryius Byrd was fantastic last night. Edelman had 179 yards. But at least initially, there is no question that Cam Newton fits in better with this group of receivers than Tom Brady did. That's a fact.
Ooh, can we get that on tape?
No, and Rex Ryan reiterated what I was saying it last night.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Is this on?
But that Cam Newton would fit in well with the Buccaneers receivers too. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying right now, the way this team is currently constructed, Cam Newton is a better fit with this set of receivers.
Demaryius Byrd looked like a real receiver.
Number 10. Yeah.
I don't want to say for the first time in his career last night, but that's the best game he's played,
From
I think.
South Carolina, I think, if I remember correctly. But yeah, and N'Keal Harry was good. Myers had one catch. He was only targeted once, but they look a lot more comfortable. And it just does. The offense, I mean, totally different. A 180 from week one to week two, which is that's what a well-coached team does. You don't just throw one set of philosophy or one scheme every
system,
week.
System, Pete. System. It's a system.
I don't use that word. You know, I hate it.
It's a system.
It's a system.
It's all based off of the read option in the New England system.
Fact.
Yeah, but a lot of it wasn't read
and
option.
Now they have a quarterback that can do it, so it's a whole another half of a playbook that they can never even touch.
And he rushed for 11. He rushed 11 times last night, but really he only had three. I think going into the
you only
late
need to do it once
quarter.
In a while just to keep the defense on the toes if you got the right system.
Yeah, yeah, the right system is run for a first down late in the game.
RPO system,
but he threw
that
the ball
system on fourth down not good enough.
No,
that was a bad system.
Bad system.
Bad system
bad
down.
Play call.
I actually hope that Russell Wilson continues on this tear throughout the look. It's ridiculous. This guy's never gotten even a vote for the MVP. He looks like an MVP right now. He did last year.
Did you hear Collinsworth last night?
Yeah.
Collinsworth
about
by
turning
the way.
Into he said Chris he lost his voting no, privileges.
Both Collinsworths are on the show.
Well, that was a disgrace too. By the way,
He was okay in the post game. I didn't see him in
Jack.
The
game. Yeah. Nice nepotism to get a job. Real great.
I've been there.
Doesn't but please.
So what were you going to say? What about?
Collinsworth said he had his MVP vote privilege taken away.
Why?
Because he got his in on time.
He got his vote in late, and it was a vote for Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
and
it was late.
This was 2 years ago.
And why did he have it revoked?
Because he turned it in late, so they took it away and gave it to somebody else.
No, I can tell you this, and I've seen in all sport. I've seen a Hall of Fame balloting. I'm sure you have too, Greg. It's really nothing more. Like, you look at a Baseball Hall of Fame ballot, it's a sheet of paper, like a standard sheet you get out of your printer.
Yeah.
And it's got, whatever, 7 or 8 names. It looks like a 6-year-old put it together. It's not complicated.
No.
It just says, here is the list. Vote for who you think it is. And
voter
it's just
fraud.
A name in a box. And it's nothing,
yeah, get
it's
ready.
Nothing complicated. There's no background. It's just names. It's like an SAT test. That's it.
Wow.
And most of those, and the same thing with the NFL. All those things are they're really simple. You just there's only one thing you have to do: hand it in on time.
Can't even do that. All right,
and that little Collinsworth on the sideline. Go away.
I like Jack.
What did he do? All I saw him do is the post game. He's like the one that.
I couldn't stand him on ESPN.
What was his name that used to work at it? The Costas role on Sunday Night Football back when Costas was on a few years ago. That's what Collinsworth was doing post game. Kind of wrapping it up, tossing it to Michelle Tafoya, who stumbled through her interview with Russell Wilson.
Well, I'll give her some slack in all sideline reporters this year. You're speaking 25 feet away from each other.
True.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let the sideline reporter on the sideline. It's not a stands reporter. It's in the name.
COVID, mostly, Chris. COVID.
COVID. Again, yeah. Don't get me started on that.
Most sideline reporters, no matter who you are, man, woman, child, absolutely useless. You learn nothing except for an injury or two. And really, they announce it in the press box, and they usually have it in the press box before it gets translated down to the field. So usually you have the injury. If you're on Twitter, even during a game, you will know who's hurt before they get it down to the sideline, no matter what network you're watching.
No, Cocoa Puffs, we haven't blocked you.
What are you talking about?
Y'all staying real quiet about the dominance of the Packers.
Cocoa Puffs has a hair up his ass because I said after the NFL draft that it was stupid to select Jordan Love in the first round, which I stand by that statement because you drafted somebody in the first round that is going to contribute to zero wins this year for the Green Bay Packers.
You could never have enough quarterbacks, Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah.
They have a quarterback. It's a completely different thing. I don't have to spell it. You have a young.
You have a quarterback, too. His name is Tua. We don't need to drop Trevor next year.
Did you just put Tua and Aaron Rodgers in the same breath?
I want to see Chris's face explode. That's
the hottest take you've ever had, Craig.
Well, we all know. I told you. Aaron Rodgers is gone next, after this year.
And leave Cocoa Puffs alone. He's a friend of mine.
He's
gone. Leaving Cocoa Puffs alone.
Cocoa Puffs,
your offense has been spectacular. But again, going back to our original argument, what has Jordan Love done to contribute to the 1,000-plus yards and the whatever many points?
He gives Aaron Rodgers a nice pat on the butt before he goes in.
Good.
He has a nice. He competes with
them
at
practice. He makes the defense play better because they're inspired.
He knows he's going to be starting next year.
You
absolutely,
guys
when
are
Aaron Rodgers
infuriating
is gone.
Sometimes.
Aaron Rodgers will be
it
gone next
so
year.
It is so frustrating trying to talk in-depth football logic with you two.
Please.
Because on the surface, Craig Sheeman, quote, Julio Jones, bad football player.
Two catches in 11. How many? I picked who's worse, Gronk or Julio Jones right now?
Well, you can't. That's ridiculous.
Both had two catches this in their.
And I know you
actually,
don't. I know
Gronk
you don't actually.
Zero.
I know you
Gronk
don't actually
zero.
Mean that. I don't mean. I know you don't actually mean that.
Which one?
Gronk has
both
not been good.
Gronk has not been good.
Last and week,
I stand
Gronk
by my Julio Jones comments.
Gronk last week was a decoy. And you're gonna,
Jones is a decoy, too.
No. Julio Jones had 150 yards last week.
Not this week. Gronk last week. 24 this week.
Gronk was much more active this week. Now, he didn't get targeted all that much. The one time he did get targeted, Brady overthrew him. Otherwise, half a second
bad
more, I think that's a touchdown. The problem is Cocoa Puffs with the Packers. Yeah, they looked fantastic so far. Everybody agrees. But it's so hard. I'm trying to be the guy with a soul here with Craig. There's only so much you can beat up on the Lions. Really. I mean, unlike how these two feel about me regarding the Patriots and to an extent, you know, some of the Buccaneer players, I have a heart. I have a soul. I have a conscience. I support the Indiana Hoosiers sometimes.
Yes, you do.
I support the Detroit Lions. I get nothing.
Take the under on the Hoosiers at 5.5 wins this year.
I love it. It's a lock.
It's a stone cold lock.
I'm taking the over just to spite you.
By the way, it's game week for the Gators. Go Gators. And 99.3 ESPN is your home for Gators football all season long. Saturday, the Gators travel to Oxford to face Ole Miss. We'll start coverage at 11:30. Noon kickoff. Gator football is in Southwest Florida. Is brought to you by the Wilbur Smith Law Firm. And then we're going to back that up, follow that up with a little Florida State Miami. No Coach Norvell. He's got COVID. But that's the breaks these days. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Of course, Monday Night Football tonight on 99.3 ESPN. We've got Vegas, baby, hosting the Raiders hosting the Saints, Drew Brees and company. Just a quick recap. Again, 5 o'clock hour. Probably the most boneheaded play of the entire NFL schedule yesterday has to do with the Falcons, who are just known for choking. Big leads. Had another one against the Cowboys yesterday. The first time in NFL history, they become the first team to score 39 points with zero turnovers and lose. Previously, it had been 440 wins and zero losses under that scenario. They blow the lead to the Cowboys. The Cowboys were desperate. They're out of timeouts. They needed an onside kick. And as you all know, an onside kick has to go
10 yards
before the kicking team,
but it was spitting differently, Craig.
Well, Zuerlein didn't use a tee; he just literally rolled it, and you could see the video of three Falcons players surrounding the ball, almost like guys waiting to down a punt that is rolling one last yard. Nobody touched it from the Falcons. The special teams coach should be fired. Here is that play on Fox.
So here we go. Dallas needs this without timeouts. Zuerlein, little squibber. It's got to go 10 yards, and it's close. Zuerlein may have come through. Who's got it? The Cowboys have it. Do you believe that?
About that. It was awful. Absolutely awful. The Cowboys ended up winning, yeah. and winning the game. 40-39.
Mm. By the way, the bonehead coaching move of the day, by the way, was Pete Carroll last night. And if you remember correctly, at the end of the game, tried to go deep on 3rd and 1.
I agree.
And it was ridiculously stupid.
Was that him?
Stupid.
Or did Russell Wilson go on his own and go rogue? He might have.
No way is Russell Wilson audibly and throwing a bomb. Oh, it was a bomb.
I know, but he's the best bomb thrower in the league. That's all we heard last night.
No way. That was not an audible. I would be stunned if that was an audible.
I actually disagree. It looked like an audible. He thought he had a guy, single coverage on the right side.
He's
it was a dumb
that.
Play. He is, but it was, look, I would not be surprised. I'd be more shocked if that was the called play as opposed to Russell Wilson going for it.
I'm not. Again, going back to a lot of other things, Pete Carroll is a very good coach, but he also has some boneheaded moves. And for Russell Wilson to throw a 3rd and 1 to Lockett or try to on that play, he could have taken it, and you didn't force the Patriots to call a timeout. It made no sense at all. The Patriots saved a timeout, which that timeout that they saved allowed them to have an extra play and march down the field and nearly win the game. Pete Carroll, if they lost that game, I'm telling you, he would be being killed today.
Well,
for that call.
Whether it was Russell Wilson on an audible or whether it was Pete Wilson call or Pete Carroll call, I 1,000% agree with you. It was the worst possible play they could have tried to make in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's wrong for so many reasons. Not to mention, you need 1 yard. Russell Wilson, do a quarterback sneak if you have. Doesn't matter. Take a knee if you have to. You're going to kick take a knee if you have to. Whatever it is, you got to force the Patriots to take that timeout. They had 2 at the time. And it was, again, it was good clock management by the Patriots. Bad final play, but a very one of the more entertaining games of the day. I was very happy overall.
I've always thought Pete Carroll. Look, I think he's a good coach, and he's always had good teams, whether it's at Southern Cal or whether in Seattle. I've always thought he's been like the luckiest coach I've ever seen. The ball always seems to bounce his way. That's another case in point right there. He always seems to win those 1-point ball games that go down to the wire. And again, he did it at Southern Cal, too.
Not Super Bowls.
Well, not that one. No. You're right. But anyway. All right. Wow.
Kinda
look at the
time. That call kind of got underplayed. It didn't after the game. NFL Network, when I was watching, people brought it up.
You're right, though. Had they lost, that would have been maybe most of what everybody would be talking about today. We got What You Got coming up next. Also, the Sheeman Shepherd Daily Dose is available after each show. We take our best segment. What was our best segment today? Anybody? Any of my hot takes make it?
Yes. Today we have Chris goes off on Miami. Tampa Bay played well. And is Tua time now?
Okay. So stuff like that. Best
a lot
segments.
Of football. A lot of football reaction on a football Monday. On an NFL football Monday.
All right, so we condense it down to a 30-minute daily podcast.
No U.S. Open.
Well, I had hot takes there, too. You could get it at 993ESPN.com or on your free 993ESPN app, wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. What You Got coming up next, Sheeman and Shepherd, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, What You Got on this day, September 21st. By the way, tomorrow, the first day of fall already, or autumn.
Exciting.
Happy birthday, J.R.R. Tolkien. Wrote The Hobbit.
Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I almost read that whole book in eighth grade.
Great man.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Stephen King as well. Must be a day for writers.
Solid.
Happy birthday, Rick Mahorn. How about that? Pistons. Cecil Fielder. I mean, it's all Detroit all the time. John Kitna. Actually, he played in Detroit, too.
Yeah, he did. He was a Lion a Bungle and a Dolphin.
In this day, in 1906, the New York Highlanders, the precursor to the Yankees, their first baseman, Hal Chase, had 22 putouts, a Major League Baseball record at first base. They won that game 6-3. 1934, Cardinals pitchers. The Dean brothers, Dizzy Dean and Paul Dean, they both shut out their respective teams in a doubleheader. And in fact, Dizzy's was 13-0. Paul had a 3-0 no hitter.
How about that?
Dizzy and Daffy.
1956, the Yankees. They set a dubious Major League Baseball record. 20 men left on base. Lost to the lost to the Red Sox at Fenway.
What a day.
1969, Jets punter Shane O'Neill punted 98 yards.
Shaner.
Versus the Broncos. 1982, sad day. The NFL player strike started 57 days. And in 2008, this was the final home game at Yankee Stadium against the O's. Pete, what you got?
Bruce Arians, head coach of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, message to the receivers who had 7 drops for 125 yards on Sunday. Quote, don't drop the damn ball or you won't get another one. It's easy. Brady ain't going to throw it to you. Said Brady should have had a 400-yard game.
Huh.
Sean McCoy, who dropped a touchdown pass. And the biggest one that I had was the kid who dropped the pass, hit him on the helmet. I mean, just ridiculous. But anyway, they won the game.
He couldn't see it.
Yeah, he couldn't see it.
All right.
I believe that was Jaden Mickens.
No, I don't think so.
Justin Watson?
No, not Watson.
Cyril Grayson?
Might have been him.
Okay.
Might have been him.
Well, he's last on the depth chart.
Yeah,
so.
I don't care. Catch the ball.
Tyler Johnson?
Hit off the helmet.
TJ.
All right, Chris, do you have a Stone Cold Lock of the Night? And would it be Monday Night Football by chance?
It will be. I talked about it earlier in the show. I'll take the 4.5 tonight. Raiders hosting the Saints. I'll take the 4.5. And we'll see what happens.
And I'll take Tampa Bay. Unload on the Lightning tonight. I know it's about 150 minus 160. And yes, Pineapple Pizza, Chase Winovich was outstanding. He is going to be a stud.
Yeah, I agree.
You can just see it. And I call him Thor.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely. I love the Lightning tonight.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Stanley Cup final game too. They didn't get a lot of coverage. But I might check some of that out too. All right. So what time's the Monday night start tonight?
7:30.
All right.
7:30, like a 45-minute pregame show for you. Not too much.
Okay.
Not too much.
And they're doing stuff on ESPN and ESPN2 tonight. They're going to do a virtual thing. They're going to kind of do like they do in the national championship. They're going to have all sorts of little.
Oh, that's right. They're doing the, what do they call that? Anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking. The Supercast.
Oh.
Supercast.
All right.
Bunch of different camera angles to show off. Is it Alliant or Reliant?
Alliant.
Alliant.
Yeah, right. Okay. Stadium looks good.
Our buddy Gus Alonzo also said, because I tweeted to Stream Song Resort and said, what's your favorite memory while playing? Gus says, the birdie on 18 on the black course was pretty sweet, but playing with Pete and Craig was a treat.
All right, Gus.
All right, Gus.
How about that? All right. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Red Alert Tuesday. Oh,
I'm gonna have
a long list of people on blast.
Can you put field turf on blast?
Yes. NFL cleared it.
Yeah.
NFL
or grounds
it.
Crew, however, whatever. Whoever, angle some, you want
somebody's
take.
Getting on blast.
Joe Judge says we practiced all week and we had scrimmages and nobody complained.
Yeah. All right. So we got that. Master Pete Theater. All kinds of good
Must
stuff.
Must have been a coincidence then.
What?
Yeah.
All the injuries that the 49ers suffered.
Kawinky Dink.
Two.
Ooh, more than two.
Three.
All right, that'll do it, everybody.
Four.
Have a great
Four.
Monday for Chris, for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Super kudos to me. Thanks for listening, Southwest Florida. Good night. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.